If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 127, we're going to, well, I don't know how to say this. We're going to set aside heaven for today, and we'll be back to heaven next Sunday. But today we're going to talk about dedication of our children. Psalm 127, look at verse 3. I may put 2 up there also, but let's look at verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. And the people said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you and thank you for standing in honor of the reading of God's holy word. Probably of all the things that we do in the church, I don't know if there's anything that I count to be any more important than what we're doing here today. And that is to recognize those students who are graduating and entering, as Travis reminded us, into that other phase of their life. Never again in their life will we that close to that many people at one time as they are when they're seniors in high school. Have you discovered that? I like the fact that we come together today to say thank you to our membership, but I praise God that we have an opportunity today to come together and dedicate our children to the Lord. Our text tells us that I read to you in Psalm 127. It's kind of hard to pick a text when you're thinking about dedicating children because children are so prevalent in the Word. And there's so many places that we find that children are being lifted up and children are being praised and are being brought before the Lord. So it's kind of hard to pick an exact text and where you ought to go. But our text today tells us a few things of how God feels about children. Now, I would challenge you to remember these things. Grandparents, moms and dads, neighbors across the street, church members that sit close to somebody in church, remember these things that the Word tells us about what God thinks about children. Number one, it tells us they are a heritage to God. I'll say this again here in a few moments, but I want to say it to you now as well. What we do here today in dedicating our children really goes forward to just keep the kingdom of God going. We're doing this, we might tell our children about the Lord Jesus Christ and see the heritage of God continue as the church continues doing what it needs to do. The text also tells us about happiness and joy that children are to us. If you've had children, you know that children can be very happy. They can bring out a bunch of happiness. They can bring out some sadness too. They can bring out trying moments. Have you ever had any of those? My son is Rodney. I've had some trying moments along the way. I have perfect grandchildren. Have you noticed that grandchildren are so much better than kids? Have you noticed that? If I'd have known that, as they say, I'd had them first and been done with it, but I didn't have a choice in that matter. But it's the thing about how important children are to God the Father and how much the children mean to Him. They are a continuation of His heritage. The text tells us they bring happiness and they bring joy. Children will bring joy to parents and families if they act right, right? If they don't act right, we don't even want to claim them. But I want to let you in on a secret. I thought about if I ought to say this to you or not, but I'm going, I'm older and bolder, right? If you'll show them, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, if you'll be the example that you ought to be to them, it's amazing what can happen in a child's life. If they grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord and they see you mimicking God, they see you trying to be more like Jesus, the song we sung a few moments ago, it's amazing what a difference it can make in their lives, their heritage. They're precious to God. This text tells us about the happiness that they bring in the lives of people. They bring joy to the family if they act right. And they will act right if we show them the ways of the Lord. If we take time, I got several scripture passages I want to reference. If we take time, mom and dad, how many of you are parents here? Woo! How many grandparents? Yeah! Neighbors, family. Here's what I discover. If we take the time to follow some examples of scripture, it's amazing what can happen in the lives of our children. There's a passage in the book of Ephesians. I'm not going to read the passage to you. I'm just going to tell you a short version of what I think the verses say. Paul calls on the Ephesians believers who, if you look at the book of Ephesians, Brother Cliff, and you pay attention to it, you discover that a whole lot of the issues that Paul dealt with in the book of Ephesians and then even in Corinth and some of the other places are some of the things that you and I deal with today. And here in the scripture, in this Ephesians example, Paul called the Ephesian believers to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That means that you raise your kids to respect God Almighty. That is, you raise your kids to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And numerous times today, I want to say that to you. Paul called on those Ephesian believers to follow that pattern and give God a priority in their life. Let me tell you something. The greatest relationship that your children can ever have, your grandchildren can ever have, the greatest relationship they can ever have is a relationship with God. There's no better. It's even better than grandpa, believe it or not. It's even better than grandma. It's better than mom and dad. But listen, those kids have to have the opportunity to see Jesus. This act of dedication that we are here to do today, it's kind of a trifold challenge, if you will. There are three pieces to this puzzle. And I want to share with them with you right quick, and we'll get on with the business of dedicating our children. First and foremost, there's a piece that if we're going to dedicate our children, we got to be dedicated parents. So before you can ever dedicate your children, in a little bit I'll give you an opportunity invitation. Before we actually do the process of dedication, I'll give you an opportunity to respond to an invitation. If you and I are going to dedicate our children, then it's absolutely imperative that we be dedicated parents. A child doesn't stand a chance if we're not dedicated parents. It's not a dedication of a children in a world that is a mess. It's dedicating children by parents who love the Lord. And if we dedicate ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the principles of this book I have on this before me, if we follow those principles, it's amazing what can happen in the lives of our children. But they must see Jesus in you. It's not a dedication of children to the world and following some child psychologist. When I was young, when Rodney was a baby, Dr. Spock was famous. Remember him? The Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child. My dad, I wasn't spoiled. We live in a day and age now where kids kind of run the house. Well, I'm getting mad already, preacher. You'll get over it in a minute. We live in a day and age where kids kind of run the house and mom and dad's just kind of sit by and watch it happen. Don't do that. Be the authority in your home. Be a figure that raises your children and teach them along the way what the different family members' function is. Raise your children in the ways of the Lord. Dedicate them to the Lord, not to some theory or some idea or some program. If we're going to dedicate our children to the Lord, we must first be dedicated ourselves. If we're not willing to dedicate ourselves, some of this is kind of hard to say, but if we don't dedicate ourselves, our children don't stand a chance. You understand that? If we don't dedicate ourselves to the Lord, if we don't dedicate ourselves to the Word of God, our children really don't stand a chance. This dedication of children requires the dedication of parents who worship and serve God, watch this now, publicly and privately. Publicly and privately. When I'm at home, I call that cat words that I wouldn't use in the pulpit. You say, well, preacher, you ought not admit that. Let me tell you the difference in me and you. 10 feet, 12 feet, 14 feet, that's it. I got up this morning and put my pants on the same way you do. I face the same demons that you face. There are times that things come out of my mouth that I wish didn't come out of my mouth, but it does. You know why? Because I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And someday I'll go to heaven and I won't have all this garbage around to worry about. But let me tell you something. With your children, they need to see you worshiping God here. They need to see you worshiping God at home as well. They need to be sure that they know that you're not just a Sunday morning Christian. You're not one of those CEOs like we had a lot long ago. Christmas, Easter only CEOs. They need to see you worshiping God daily on a regular basis, showing the love of God, showing them the love of God through Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. It's a must. If we're going to train our children and dedicate our children, we must be dedicated to the Lord ourselves. We want our children to overcome in the world, right? Does anybody want your kid just to go out in the world and get run over? Nobody. So we want them to overcome. What did Jesus say? He said, I have overcome the world. So let me ask you something, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa. Why on earth would you fight a battle that's already won? See, Jesus has defeated everything there is. He has overcome the world, he said. So if we want our children to be overcomers in this world, then I submit to you, they need to see the Lord Jesus Christ and know that Jesus Christ is real and he needs to be real in our lives. Parents and grandparents who will dedicate themselves to the Lord, worshiping and serving God, turning their children over to him who has overcome the world, it just makes sense to me. If parents and grandparents, let's see your hand again, see if you're still awake. Some of y'all are sleeping. There were more the first time around. If parents and grandparents are going to be what they ought to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and worship the way they should, if they'll do that and dedicate themselves to the Lord, and you doing that and we do that and I do that, it's amazing what can happen in their lives. They need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in you. They need to see Jesus in me. They need to understand the importance of having Christ in their life. Jesus will be precious to you, and that your children are already precious to him. Then when I think about this act of dedication, I can't help but think about that great Shema passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Shema passage, the word is just here to listen. And it's really the foundation of a lot of Jewish worship. But let me read these words to you. The Shema passage of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 9. I want to point out one scripture, one passage, one verse to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. That means you put your shoulder to the wheel and keep pushing. That means even when you go through those storms like Travis talked about a few minutes ago, have you noticed they don't stop? They seem to keep coming. So when you put your shoulder to the wheel and you keep pushing, even when it gets tough, you teach them diligently. You teach the ways of the Lord diligently to your children and talk with them when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house. I'm not Jewish. You didn't know that, huh? I'll just call it a trinket. It's not a trinket. It's a door badge. And if you go to Israel, some of us have been, we're going to go again. If you go to Israel, you'll notice that on every door, there's one of these little boxes. And inside that box, guess what? Deuteronomy chapter 6 is right there in that box. Those first few verses of, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. You'll see them go into those doors and rub that thing, touch their heart, and kiss their hand. It's amazing the reverence they give to God's word. You and I, parents and grandparents, ought to do all in our power to give reverence to God himself and be certain that God is reverenced and just lifted up in our lives. The Lord your God, is he? If he is, then you can be part of that dedication of a child, but you cannot be a part of a dedication to a child if you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. I only have a few more things to say. You okay so far? Anybody mad, want to leave? If you do, we're going to point you out. This is going to be the only day that I'm going to give you permission to leave during the invitation. I don't know if you, I'm going to have an invitation. I'm going to be at the back door one day. And everybody comes out, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to grab them and pray for them. Today you can leave to go get your babies if they're not here with you during that invitation time, and then you'll be ready to come back. You got to be dedicated yourselves. That verse 7 of that passage, you shall teach your children. Teach them diligently. That means put everything you got into it. Our children deserve to see God in our lives. Amen? They deserve that. And if we dedicate ourselves to bringing them up in a home that is dependent upon God's word, if we bring them up in a home where we are believers and trusting God, we'll meet that first challenge to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. There's a second part of this challenge of baby dedication. Not only do we have to be dedicated parents and grandparents, we have to truly dedicate our children to the Lord. Now, I want to spend a few moments explaining a little bit about what that looks like. There's a story found in 1 Samuel. It's one of my favorites, and I'm just going to tell you rather than try to read the story in its entirety. Trust me, I've got the high points down here. It comes to mind when I think about baby dedication. It's the story of one Hannah. Hannah had no children, and she prayed to God that God would give her a child. And not only did she pray for a child, she was so bold as to go to God and say, God, I want a boy. I did that. When I found my wife was pregnant, we didn't have all the fancy things they have today where they can kind of show you a picture of the baby while the baby's in the womb. Vicky was just, the nurses said she was a humped up Hempstead. Now, we're in the country, okay? Like a humped up Hempstead watermelon. And one lady said, oh, that's a girl. So, I mean, we knew this woman knew what she was talking about, right? I mean, those in medical profession know what they're doing. And she said, that's a little girl. Guess what we did? Bought everything pink. Fixed up the nursery for a girl. All the time I'm praying, God, can you change this? It's okay to ask God to change the sex in the womb after you get out and leave it alone. You understand? I'm not saying you can be trans. You can be trans in the womb. But after that, you got to leave it alone. I said, oh, God, give me a boy. God, let me have 110%. I got about 175. Boy. Hannah said, God, give me a son. And God responded. He gave her that son. In fact, ladies, I know this happened to none of you. She was praying in the temple, and Eli the priest saw her praying, and he thought she was drunk. And she said, I've had nothing intoxicating in my body. I'm just seeking God for what I desire. And God gave her a boy. Listen to the words of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She made a vow. The baby's born. She'd weaned him. She made a vow. She said, oh, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but you will give me your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever come upon his head. She saw that prayer answered. Sure enough, that baby boy was born. She named him Samuel. The Hebrew divinator would tell us that his name is meaning his name is God, Samuel. In Samuel chapter 1, we see a moving day of dedication that Hannah takes the baby to the temple. And listen, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here before you praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord, dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there together. That's dedication. That's when you say, God, here's my child. Take my child and do with my child what you see fit. She gave the child to God, and you can read the story yourself. It's a moving story in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel where she gives that child to God, and the child serves there, and boy, amazing things happen in the life of Samuel, and he becomes probably one of the greatest characters in the Bible. Dedication of parents, grandparents, dedication of children. But I want you to understand something. Are you listening? I say that a few times on the radio every day. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Don't miss this. What we do here today in no way imparts salvation on your children.
That's right.
In fact, I bet 10 years from now you can ask one of them, do you remember? They're not going to remember. I don't know about you, but I think I can go back to around 5 years old. Before that's just a blur. I don't know what happened. I was an old cursed. I know that. I guess I realized that around 5 years old, maybe. I go back to things just because of the calendar. I know the date or the year, and I can kind of go back and say, well, I remember that. Here's a child you're going to bring to dedicate to the Lord. They're not going to remember this. Don't miss this. This in no way, no way imparts salvation to your child. This is an act today of something you're doing. It's a day of beauty. It's a day to remember. It's one where you bring your child before God, even as Hannah brought Samuel to God and offered that child to God. It's your promise to nurture and to care for and to pray that someday when that child reaches that age of accountability, whatever that is, it's different, I think, in a lot of folks, but whenever he reaches that age or she reaches that age of accountability, it's that day that they realize they are a sinner. And if you have lived out Jesus in their presence, you follow? If you bring them into a home and nurture them in that home and live out Jesus in their presence, then they'll realize it's amazing how the Spirit works. They'll realize they have a need, and they'll realize that need is Jesus. And there'll come a day, you'll pray, there'll come a day that child will be saved, accept Christ, and come into the kingdom. That's what dedication of a child looks like. It's saying, Lord, I want you to take this child, and I'm going to pray for this child, and I'll pray for the day to come when that child comes to know Jesus. So, we got dedication of parents and grandparents. We got the act of dedicating our children, which we'll do here in a few moments. There's one last thing. Don't you get all enthused, excited. I won't preach this quick most times. Okay, I will. There's one final piece to complete this puzzle. The dedication of church and community. Now listen close. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, teachers, preachers, faithful church members, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, whatever you are. All of us need to exercise a full basket of the fruit of the Spirit. If you've raised children or you're raising children now, I remember taking Rodney in for his checkup. He was, he's like 2 years old. And we went, I think, to David Barnhart then. And I told Dr. Barnhart, I said, man, this dude, he's something at 2 years old. He said, you know why people think the twos are so bad and terrible? He said he ain't had the threes or the fours or the fives or the sixes or the tens. Ricky Herzog just looked at me and wiped his brow. I'm not picking on you, Rick. All of us in this building have a responsibility to the children going to be brought in a few moments in this place. We've got to have a full basket of fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God, help us as parents, as grandparents, as church members of this community, help us to mirror Jesus so that our babies, our generations to come will see the Lord Jesus in us, in the church, and we'll love the Lord because we love the Lord. You ever had somebody love something that you loved just because you loved it? My granddaughter, who is now 16 and 28, driving. My wife and I were driving downtown the other day, and we looked, here comes Tori. It just doesn't look right to me. She detested salad. Could not imagine eating salad. No, I don't want none of that crunchy stuff. No, I don't want to eat tomatoes or cucumber, none of that nasty stuff. One day I held her down. No, one day I was eating a salad. I didn't need to eat more of those salads, but I was eating a salad, and I said to her, you want to try some of this? She finally gave up and gave in. Now she wants salad all the time. You ever have somebody love something that you love, and they love it just because you do? Well, preacher, are you having the audacity to suggest to me that if I love, I'm having the audacity to say to you that if you love Jesus and your children see you loving Jesus, guess what? They want some of that. So my challenge is dedicate yourselves, dedicate your children. Let us be a church of dedicated people who let the world see that we love Jesus. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that I have to invite your people to come into this place, Lord. Come to this invitation to make right things in their life. Lord, perhaps to come and be a part of this church because they want to be a part of a church like this. God, maybe some that need to be saved, need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe some, Father, that need to spend some time in these altars before we do this dedication, to dedicate themselves even more so to you. Father, would you bless us in this time of invitation? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me all over this building as we sing a song of invitation? You come if the Lord leads you to do so, and we'll move from there into our baby dedication.